Now, I don't know if you know this, but the average nurse in Australia gets about $65,000 a year. That's your average nurse. So you've got to picture a nurse, I don't know, 8 hours a day, and all day long, all she does, or all he does, is serve. All, you clean someone, you minister drugs to them, you put puffy uppy their pillow, are you comfortable, is there something, nurse, can I have some water? Yes, I'll get you water, I got you water 3 minutes ago, I'll get you another one. And all you do is serve people. All your goal is to build somebody else up. $65,000 a year on average. Now, if you did that for the whole of your life, let's say 40 years, 40 years of serving people, you will end up with $2.5 million. You won't end up with that, but that's what you would have earned. And here's a funny fact for you. And if you worked for 1,230 years, I mean, imagine how many people you could serve and help, right? You would have earned $80 million just for looking after people. Huh? Well, I got an interesting fact for you. Last weekend, a man earned $80 million, not for 1,230 years labor, not for 40 years labor, not for 1 year's labor, $80 million for 40 seconds of work. You know who I'm talking about. You think $80 million, 40 seconds. What did he do? What service to humanity did he do? How many people did he build up and serve and help? How is our planet better off that we should pay somebody $80 million for 40 seconds of work? Well, no. I'm talking about Conor McGregor. All the ladies look at me puzzled. He is a ultimate fighting machine. He is the UFC cage fighting champion in a number of divisions, welterweight, title, etc. And he fought last weekend. And he took another human being and he punched him in the face and he kneed him in the face and he hit him with his shoulder, and for 40 seconds he pummeled another human being, broke him down, and got $80 million for it. Now, I know you're sitting and thinking, well, it wasn't quite 40 seconds because he trained, he did lots of sit-ups, you know, he did lots of push-ups and all that sort of thing. But just hold on. Tell me if you don't feel that something's wrong. Don't you feel like, how did we come to that? Don't you feel did he have to get that? But Dwayne, it's entertainment. And we would rather pay entertainment than nurses. Because who wants to cancel Foxtel to support a compassion child? I mean, we know what's more important, right? Entertainment is. But doesn't this offend our sense of fairness? Which one of us doesn't think this? Equal pay for equal work. Is there anyone here who thinks that's a bad idea? Deep within us, we've got this sense of fairness. We know, we don't do it, as I just proved to you, but we all believe in it, that there should be fairness, equal pay for equal work. And we know this is so true, and this is such a good principle, even God must obey our rules. You know, God must fit in with what we think is fair. If he doesn't, he must watch out. Just now we'll stop believing in him if he's not careful. God himself must stick to our standards of fairness. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you getting what you deserve this morning? Are you getting what you deserve? Look at your life. Is God paying you fairly? Do you think you're being paid fair? You're being paid fair? Look at Peter. Have a look at this little thing with Peter. This happens just before our passage. I think Jesus' parable we're going to look at today is in response to this. Look at what Peter says. Peter turns to Jesus and he says this. Jesus has just said to a rich man, it is almost impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so Peter answers him, whoa, 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 whoa. We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? What's in it for you? Are you going to pay us fairly, Jesus? I just want it recorded. I have left everything for you, Jesus. So I was a fisherman, I admit. It's not like woo, it's not like a youth pastor, something noble like that. But it was outdoors, so that's a cool job. And I had my own little boat and a couple of houses, and I lived in my own town, and I knew everybody, and my school friends are there, and I had a little house, and you know, I was catching little fishies, and it's not a bad life, you know. And I left it all behind. I left everything, Jesus, to follow you. And no offense, but we've been wandering around the countryside for 3 years now. And I still haven't got a house. And we're just getting rejected wherever we go. And everyone doesn't like us. And we haven't yet slept in a B&B. We've been like sleeping on the side of the road. You know, is there going to be a payday? At what point do I cash in my super? I wonder if you're sitting here this morning. I've been a Christian for 20 years. And you know, I'm not a great Christian, but I've given money to the church for the last 20 years. I wish I could actually add up how much I've actually given. Whew, it's quite a lot, God. And I've come to church. You know, it's another Sunday morning. Do you know what a good day it is? You should have seen my neighbors with their Aussie flags. And they're all going to find the prime spot for the fireworks and stuff, and I'm in church again. You know, that's a lot of my time I've given you there, God. And when I compare myself to my atheist neighbor, well, I can't see that I've received anything more than him. Where's my pay? Well, me and my wife, you know, we've been married for 35 years, you know. And it's been fine, and we've never cheated on each other, and we're kind, and we throw mugs, but very rarely, and you know. And then I go on Facebook, look at those couples, love, they've got such a happy marriage. And they're not Christians. Where's my pay? Where's my pay? What's in it for me? Or I'm at school, and that girl over there is sending nudies to the guys. And they love her. She's got so many friends. She's been through 4 boyfriends. I don't have one because I'm trying to do the God thing. Where's my pay? In response to that, Jesus tells this parable. And what you're going to see in this parable is just one point. You are going to see something amazing about God. And here it is. It's a one-pointer. Here it is. God is better than fair. God is extremely generous. Ain't nobody you want to work for more than God. He is not fair. I'm going to try and show you this morning. Do not think God is fair. He is not fair. He is extremely generous. Way beyond and above fair. God is a good paymaster. It is worth serving him. Have a look at the parable with me. Verse 1. Here's what Jesus says. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. Notice the word like. When you hear that word like, it means analogy. And that means there are some things in the parable that correspond and some things that don't. It's a story. It's not perfect. It's a parable. There is correspondence and non-correspondence. But he goes out and he hires workers. God is the landowner and he hires workers for his vineyard. Verse 2. He agrees to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his work, into his vineyard. Now, here's the point here. The Bible teaches again and again, a worker is worthy of his wages. God pays his workers. Now, some of you on the hyper-Calvinist variety of flowers, you're thinking, oh, I don't, everything's grace. And you're right. So how is it that God pays out? How is that God rewards his workers? I'm squeamish about that. Isn't that like, no, I want to tell you this morning that grace, free, undeserved favor, and reward for work are not mutually exclusive. They're both true at the same time. In fact, it is God's grace that we get to work for him. It is God's kindness that he allows us to work alongside him. As Paul says in the New Testament, we are co-workers with Christ. It's grace. Listen, let me show you why it's grace. God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us at all. But he willingly chooses to employ us. He allows us to work with him. Think of Adam and Eve. God created the world and he created Eden. And then God said to Adam and Eve, go into my garden and work it. Work. Work alongside me. Make it prettier. Make it better. You know, that is dignifying. That's God bestowing grace and honor on Adam and Eve. You know, if you're a parent, right? And let's say you're a daddy and you've got to, what's an easy job? Rake the leaves. All right, so you've got to rake the leaves, right? That's your job. You know, lots of points for a little bit of work. Perfect. So you go and rake the leaves. And along comes your four-year-old with his little rake. Daddy, can I help you? And you're thinking, no. You know, but you say yes. And he rakes the wrong way and it takes you twice as long because he's helping you. You know, but it's, and that's what God does. He lets us work alongside him because he's a good father. He doesn't need us. And above all else, it's dignity. It's grace bestowing dignity. I have a dog, Rudolph. Rudolph has got no dignity whatsoever. And so he just lies around. He does nothing for me. Nothing for me. But I feed him, I clothe him. There's no dignity. Imagine if I treated my children like that. There would be something wrong. It is dignified that God lets us work. It's grace. Now watch the grace. Verse 3. About 9 in the morning he went out, and he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard. I'll pay you whatever is right. So they went. Grace. He went out at about noon. That's when the staff usually get to work. And about 3 in the afternoon he did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, now we're getting silly. 5 in the afternoon, he goes out and he finds still others standing around. And he asks them, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. And he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard, everybody. For whose benefit is this? Who's profiting? Do you think the landowner needs to employ people at 5 in the afternoon? There's only one more hour. Only one more hour of the day. Do you think he needs the hassle? Think he needs to pay more? What the heck? No, it's because they've got nothing else to do. It's benevolent. It's gracious. Hey, you've got nothing going. Why don't you come work for me? It's kindness. It's generosity. It's not for the landowner's benefit, it's for their benefit. And then comes verse 8, the happiest day of all, payday. Verse 8, When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call all the workers, pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. Now, what do you think the expectations are? So you've been hired at 5, right? Or you've been hired at 3. You've been hired at, what do you think you're going to get? What's your expectation? Oh, let me ask you this question. What do you want the landowner to be? Do you want him to be fair? Do you want the landowner to be fair? All right, I'll be fair. You get 1/8 of a denarius, that's fair. You get 1/6 of a denarius, that's fair. You get 1/2 of a denarius, that's fair. Do you know the landowner could have done that? And if he had done that, he would be totally fair. And the story would end there. And everybody would be happy. In fact, I've got something even more interesting. It's in the owner's interest to be fair. It would be cheaper for him if he was fair. If he was just fair, he would save a lot of money. Do you want, I'm asking you genuinely, do you want God to be fair? Are you sure? Do you want, here's a genuine question. Do you want God to give you what you deserve? Are you sure? Or would you prefer if God was generous? Which one would you? Would you rather earn your salary or win the lottery? Which one would you prefer? Well, verse 9. The workers, the majority of the workers, win the lottery. Look at verse 9 over the page. The workers who were hired at about 5 in the afternoon came, and here's where you have to add a line, each received, can you believe it, a denarius. Imagine being the guy who got called at 5. You know, at school when they pick the teams, I was always the guy who got picked last. But in this case, imagine how happy you are. There you are. You've worked how long? 1 hour. And you go to get your pay thinking you're going to get 1/8 of a denarius or whatever. And you go there and the dude gives you a whole denarius. You're like, what the? This is bonus. I've scored. All I did was learn how to use the broom. I haven't actually swept anything. You know, I just arrived. I'm Johnny come lately. And I get a whole denarius. This is awesome. Bonus. You'll be filled with joy. You'd be so happy. You'd be bouncy. You'd be thinking, this dude is amazing. You'd think the landowner was awesome. At the end of the day, all God's workers will think like that. When payday comes, it's only at the end of the day. You didn't know he's generous. When you were busy sweeping, you didn't know he was generous. It's only on payday. This is what Paul says. This is the attitude of Christians who are thinking correctly. Paul says this, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. What's Paul saying? You know, Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was whipped. Paul was stoned. Paul was mocked. He was slandered. His life was a misery. He went without food sometimes. He went without water sometimes. He was misunderstood. He doesn't sit back and go, what a life I've had. He doesn't look back and go, oh, it's been a misery. No, you do not. I should have stayed in that rabbi school. You should see their houses and cars in the super. You know, it sucks to suck. I have had such a tough life. Oh, no. He looks back and goes, a crown is waiting. And not just for me, for all those who believe the gospel, for all those who look to Jesus for their reward. This is the normal Christian attitude, to see God as the generous rewarder. Let's play a game. Let's pretend for a moment you work for the Christian Workers Union. Yeah, that's right. The Christian Workers Union. And you want to make sure that the workers are happy, right? So in heaven, there you are in heaven with your clipboard. And you walk around interviewing the workers. I just want to check that God is fair. You know, that he's, you know, my job as a Christian Workers Union representative, make sure the workers are happy. And you go up to someone. Hi, what's your name? Bob. You know, it's always Bob. And Bob, how are you going? So how long have you been here? And Bob is just smiling. He's so happy. Well, I've been here, let me see, is it 12? 13,000 years? It could be 14,000 years. You know, the thousands just fly past. I can't remember. But I am so happy. I am so happy. Thank you. Thank you for that. And were you happy on Earth? Earth? That rings a bell. No, you lived on Earth. Yes, I did, actually. How long were you there for? I think, unless I'm mistaken, I think I was there for 76 years. I can't remember, you know, 12,000 in paradise, a long time. But no, I was there for 76. Yes, okay, thank you. What did you do for God? Oh my goodness, I can't remember. Whatever it was like nothing, really. No, you must remember. Oh, look, I was part of a church, and I tithed, and I served, and oh yeah, I got a thing called, what was that? Cancer. It used to be a thing a very long time ago. Yes, I got cancer, but then I got better. And I got it again and took me in the end, and you know, yes. Well, I'm from the Christian Workers Union. I'm just checking that you're happy. Do you think you've been fairly treated? What kind of question is that? I've been here for 12, 13, 14, I can't even remember, 1,000 years in absolute paradise. And you're asking me if you think I've been treated fairly. Where do you come from? I come from one of Dwayne's poor illustrations. But, you know, really, really has God short-changed you? Front up to that question. The landowner is extremely generous. He's not fair. He's generous. Okay, Dwayne, I think Jesus has made the point. Why can't I see it? Why don't I feel it? And the answer is, because of one sin. We all do it. It's called the sin of comparison. See, that was a joke. Comparison. Comparison is a deadly sin. It strikes the eyes. And when comparison gets into your eyes, you can't see clearly anymore. Let me show it to you. Look at verse 9. Going on to the missing verse 10. So the workers who were hired at about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. Hooray! He's so generous. Now watch. Verse 10. So those who were hired first expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last can only work 1 hour. And they said, you've made them equal to us. You've borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. We don't like you being generous. We want you to be fair. Equal pay, equal wages. Don't you come with your grace thing. We prefer religion to Christianity. We think karma is better than grace. Why are we like this? Why are we like this? Well, Jesus shows us why we don't like grace. Look at verse 13. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for John? I want everyone to hear this. Verse 13. Hear this. No one in the history of this planet will ever get less than they deserve. I want to say that again. Can I repeat that? No one on this planet, you might want to take it out. No one on this planet will ever get less than they deserve. People who are in hell right now are not getting less than they deserve. Verse 13, you will get what you deserve. The sting in the parable is that some people get more than they deserve. And that's grace. Look at verse 14. Take your pay and go. You will not get less than you deserve. Now here comes grace. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Some will get more. Because God is not fair. God is better than fair. He's gracious and he's generous. So why can't I see it? Well, look at this. Verse 15. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? You want fairness? Do you want fairness? Pay me for every breath you've taken. It's mine. God says everything is mine. Don't I have the right to do what I want? Did you make earth? Did you create Australia? It's all mine. I made it all. Don't I have, you want fairness? I have the right to do what I want with my stuff. Or are you envious because I am generous? Now everyone, that word envious there is actually brilliant. It's actually the evil eye. And that's what I was talking about, the sin of comparison. The sin of comparison gives you evil eye. Where you can't see things properly. Why are my children struggling? Look over there. Look at her children. Her children are so successful. My children are struggling. And it creates envy. And you start to grumble. And you start to think that God is not generous. Because you can't see he's being generous to her. Why am I so sick? Why is my back always in pain? Look at his back. He's got such a healthy back. You know, God, you're not good to me. And envy grows and you grumble, but you can't think that God is being good to him. Why is he so wealthy? We're always in the credit card, always in and out of the credit card. Just can't seem to get ahead, but he's so wealthy. Another overseas holiday. I never get it. Why? And so envy. Comparison, and you can't see clearly, and in the end you can't see that God is generous. Here's the question: why not rejoice in God's goodness to others? Why not? Why doesn't that make you happy? Why didn't the guys who worked from early in the morning come along and get their denarius? Yep, that's what I deserve. Oh wow, are you giving him the same as me? Wow, you're good. You're such a nice guy. Why get upset? This week I read 11 out of 100 men will get prostate cancer. How good is God? 89 won't. This week, 24 people were killed in an earthquake in Turkey. Tragic. Do you know how many people weren't killed in an earthquake this week? How good is God? Do you know someone was born blind? Terrible. Do you know how many people weren't born blind? How good is God? Are you ready for the sting in the tail? Our eyes are evil. We can't see clearly. But have a look at verse 16. Here comes the sting. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. What does that mean? He's used it before in chapter 19. I don't have time to go there. Who's the first? Hands up here if you're the first. Who's the first? The first will be last. Who's the first? Can I tell you, there is only one servant of God who can rightfully, in all fairness, claim the title of the first. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ served God perfectly. Not since the morning, not since 9, not since 12, but for eternity. He served perfectly. He lived a perfect life. He is the ultimate first. And do you know what his wages were? $80 million. No. He ended up hanging on a cross. And as the first hung on that cross in absolute agony, what did he cry out? My God, where's my pay? Is that what he shouted out? My God, does this look fair to you? My God, I wish I hadn't worked for you. Carpentry was better. No, you know why he did that? Because the first swapped places with the last. He died on that cross because he was being paid out what you and I deserve. Jesus took my wages. The wages of sin is death. Jesus took my wages. He stole my pay packet. But he swapped places with me. And he gave me his pay packet. And the Christian message is that all his perfect righteousness is given to you. You get a denarius if Jesus got a denarius. And if Jesus gets the universe, you get the universe. You get paid equal. Equal with Jesus. That's Christianity. That's grace. If you're a Christian here this morning, hear this. You can't get what you deserve because Jesus got it. You get what he deserved. That's Christianity. That's the book of Romans. You don't have to come next week. Here's how to live life. For the rest of your life, you want to keep your eyes clear from comparison. You've got to look at God. You got to look at eternity, not this life, eternity. And you got to look at the cross. And as you look at those things, your eyes will be clear. And you'll keep seeing the landowner for who he really is, generous. But if you should take your eyes away from there and start looking at her and at him and at her, and mind you, if you're in Australia and you look at Africans, but let's just be generous. And so you look at people in where? Hillary's, I don't know. Or you look there, or you look there. And if you keep looking at this life, you'll cop the disease of comparison. Your eye will become bloated and evil. And you will no longer see that God is generous. See, here's the sting. Are you ready for the sting? Verse 16 is only good news to people who think that they're the last. Look at the last. Verse 16. The last will be first. That's only good news if you think you're the last. Let me ask you a question as we close. Is Christianity a hard, long slog? Is that what you think? Do you think Christianity's a hard, long slog? Do you think God's being rough? Do you want God to rather give you what you deserve? Do you think you've earned heaven? Do you think you've earned 7,000 years in a retirement village? Grace. God rewarding you, paying you not for what you deserve, but for what Jesus did. Today, I'm going to tell you at the start of 2020, as we kick off our year together, the generous landowner is calling you today. The generous landowner is calling you. I can say, look, I'm not one of those doomsday prophets, but I think we're past 12 o'clock. I'm going to say it's about 3 o'clock, but I don't know. Don't hold me to that, okay? I'm going to say it's about 3 o'clock. Some of you even think it's 5 o'clock. I don't know. But whatever. The generous landowner is calling you. You're standing around faffing. You're doing nothing. Oh, no, you're working. You're working on your own kingdom. Well, that's going to be taken from you. You're working on ANZ's kingdom. Well, that's going to be taken. Everything. So what are you doing? You're doing nothing, actually. You're doing nothing of eternal significance. So why don't you come and work for the landowner? He's asking you to come and work for him. We've got services at 8:30 from the 16th, 10:30, 6, and Joondalup at 7 on Wednesday nights. Which one are you going to serve at? Which one are you going to put the plow in? Which one are you going to work up a sweat at? At the back, look at that, North Coast Pathway. Today is an opportunity to go sign up. To sign up and say, put me down as a worker. I want to work. I want to earn from my generous land owner. I've got one last verse. I spoke to Gemma this morning. I textually contacted Gemma this morning. I asked her, how many people are serving in our church? You know that we got 220 people regularly serving in our church. And another 65 people have already signed up. And I'm sure that's some of you here. Look at what Paul would say to you as we close. Let us not become weary in doing good. Don't take the Peter approach. For at the proper time, not yet, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Friends, God is the most benevolent employer. He's generous. Sign up. Serve him. Think of the Pipeline Club. Maybe you could help there, etc., etc. And keep going. 2020. Is it 5 o'clock? Is it 3 o'clock? I don't know. Let's keep going.